Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every year we get lists. We get the good, we get the bad, we get the most dangerous too.
That's right. And today we're talking all the dangerous things that Santa brings down our chimneys each year.
Wait a minute. Santa wouldn't.
We've got musical instruments, ice cream, even guns.
See, I think what you're talking about are xylophones, kinetic sand, and Nerf guns.
Close enough.
Every year, the group World Against Toys Causing Harm, or WATCH, releases a list of what it considers to be the 10 most dangerous toys out there. It usually comes out around this time of year, right before the holidays.
And the toys aren't necessarily dangerous for every age group. A lot of the selections have to do with the recommended age listed on the toys versus what consumer experts say is actually safe.
I'm Mike Rogers. As one of our producers, Chris Blake, and this is Something Offbeat. This week, I spoke with Orion Chen of Consumer Reports. She tells us how to keep kids safe with the toys we get them over the holidays and answers the age-old question, can you eat Play-Doh? What is the balance between real danger in a toy and being too worried, needlessly worried as a parent?
It's really a balancing act, right? And we're always going to have to do this balancing act based off of what we hear and see and what the data shows us. And a lot of times it's also our gut. Like if we know that, you know, back in the 80s, lawn darts with the, like that were just massive darts were popular. We should have kind of known then what we know now that those look and are dangerous, for example.
It's funny. I was wondering how long it was going to take for lawn darts to come up in the conversation.
Not that long. I can tell you that.
But when I was a kid, that was an acceptable gift. And it's just, I don't know. Are parents now?
I think we're learning.
Overly cautious or we're learning. Okay. No, that's a great way of putting it.
I think we're learning that there are certain things that you don't want to do with the kids, whether it's giving them oversized darts to throw at each other, or like lawn darts did, or just it really is about, you know, using some common sense and seeing what the data shows. Before, I remember growing up with marbles, for example, and just playing with them all the time. And who knew that, like, how much of a choking hazard that they could be? And we know that choking is one of the top ways that kids get injured or get rushed or even die when it comes to product safety.
Or riding in the back of a pickup.
Or riding in the back of a pickup with no seatbelts. Or we had one of those old station wagons that had the bench front seat.
Yes.
Yeah, but we now know that that's not the safest for kids, and we have the data now to show it.
Mike, I know we're here to talk toys, but something Orion said caught my attention. Growing up, my mom absolutely drove one of those Ford Taurus station wagons that had the rear-facing wow. back seats you could fold out in the trunk.
You guys were styling. They don't seem so safe anymore, though, do they?
No, and it was always a fight to be the ones to sit back there, too.
Oh, yeah.
You could look right through people's front windshield while they looked down at their phones on the road if it was today.
But you 90s kids, you've got nothing on driving around the way we did.
Please go on.
So you want me to go all grandpa on you here? Okay, we didn't have car seats, for one thing. You want to know what my car seat was? It was my mom's right arm. She just stick that over, and if she ever had to hit the brakes, that right arm would shoot out. And we'd ride around untethered in the back of pickups, too. My uncle took us to Six Flags once. We went all the way out there, 20 miles, bouncing around in the back of his truck.
My parents always got mad if I got in the back of a friend's truck going around the block.
It wasn't a big deal.
The other thing that caught my ear was that lawn darts were an acceptable gift if you want to continue to go all grandpa on us today.
That's right. We actually had some lawn darts. No deaths or injuries to report, but we had a set. Slingshots, clackers, chemistry sets. You sell any of those these days, you're going to have a personal injury lawyer at your door trying to get a piece of the action.
we know that there are certain things that kids aren't ready for, and that it's okay for them to wait until they're a little bit older, where they have developed a little bit more, and they don't get carried away as easily.
And it's funny because some of these toys, there's one in particular on the list this year that they're dangerous, but not in a way that you would expect. The toy guns now that I'm talking about, they're so realistic now.
Yeah.
That's not good.
It's definitely something to be concerned about, especially if you know what the literature is saying about around development. And this is really just a really, if we pull back even from beyond guns, just like swords or any kind of like weapon type toy or anything that simulates kind of more violent actions, like there is a need for kids to have some freedom when playing so that they can learn. But there is also this risk of, you know, that the real version of these products are dangerous. And so it's tough out there. And there's not a lot out there to stop manufacturers from creating these because the standards and the laws aren't strong enough to stop them.
And just so we know, the one on the list this year is the Pinvac Colt 45 replica toy pistol, right?
Yeah, I did see that on that list. Yep.
Yeah. What else made the list this year? What are some other things, toys that moms and dads should look out for?
So another thing that I saw on that same watch list was the inflatable boxing gloves. And I wasn't as familiar with those, so I actually looked them up and I could see the appeal. But then I watched a couple of like home videos that are on YouTube or on TikTok. And like if an 8-year-old is just, you know, wailing and like just kind of using their entire body to put force behind that, like a kid could get really hurt. And so it's also about making sure that like your 5-year-old isn't the one playing with those, right? Like it's about also understanding how old the kid should be, because there's a real difference between a 2-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 10-year-old with their ability to control their bodies and learning.
You put one of those gloves on and try it out on your baby brother or sister. I could see that happening.
And I think that's where a lot of like the gut reaction or kind of the, you know, it's okay to second guess a product right now, a toy. If you think it's too early, then trust your gut on that. And it's okay to wait a few more years before introducing that product. There are other things that are safer out there and have been shown to still, you know, be fun, be fun for a kid. It doesn't have to be a dangerous product for it to be fun.
So I asked about the toy gun and Orion brought up the inflatable boxing gloves. But most of the toys on this year's list are there because of a risk of eye injury or choking or ingesting some small piece. They include things like a xylophone or a toy remote set or foam dart guns, kind of like a Nerf gun. You mentioned marbles and the choking hazard involved there. At what point does a small toy become okay? Is there a certain diameter or a measurement where it is okay?
So there are, I'd have to look up specifically what the diameter is, but on average, what I can say is that most of the injuries and deaths connected with choking deal with kids under 5. And then the rest are, you know, that could be under 8 or what have you, but most choking deaths are associated with kids under the age of 5. And so there is this, parents need to just be more careful, especially when, you know, it looks cute. It's like the Polly Pocket that I grew up with, but I don't think I was 5. And I hope I had the wherewithal at like when I was younger as a kid, when I had the Polly Pocket to know, don't swallow the little doll.
I remember the Polly Pockets and those little dolls. And the reason I do is we got them for our girls. So you're making me feel very old.
No, I'm the same way. I feel the same.
In general, have toys gotten safer over the years, or are we headed in the wrong direction?
I would argue that we are going in the right direction. There have been, in 2008, for example, we were able to pass a law that helped to improve the safety of toys, making certain standards mandatory before they weren't. So instead of just having a couple toys meeting certain low threshold requirements, now all toys have to meet a certain threshold. So overall and with the data, we're also always just seeing how the market is reacting to unsafe products. For example, water beads over the past few years have gotten a lot of press because of, you know, at first they were just seen as a sensory play toy, but now we're seeing that they're actually in fact quite hazardous, a choking hazard for a lot of kids, because they start small, but as soon as they get swallowed, they grow grow inside the kid's body and they can create some serious issues.
I'll admit this, I had to Google what a water bead was. I had never heard of them before.
To be honest, I hadn't either. I had to Google them too.
But I can see where they would obviously be a hazard. But what was the most dangerous toy that you ever had?
Well, in addition to the ones that I mentioned earlier, the slingshot and everything, I had a wood-burning set, which was basically some chunks of balsa wood, and a couple of patterns, and a cheap soldering iron. In the hands of a 9-year-old, what could possibly go wrong?
Sounds perfectly safe.
I can't tell you how many times I nearly burned the house down.
I don't remember having anything that dangerous. Had a lot of Legos, which I guess now would probably be considered a choking hazard. But I don't remember ever swallowing anything. I do remember putting one up my nose once, but it came out.
Very smart move. That's good.
I feel like I more often got hurt outside. The Razor scooters were big at one point, trying to jump a curb with those. They weren't exactly off-road ready.
That Lego thing, though, were you dropped on your head as a kid, sticking one up your nose like that?
I don't know. I was probably 5. What are you supposed to do with them?
Well, see, look, I rolled over in my sleep one night, fell out of my bed into a big pile of Lego, which isn't that big a deal until you consider that my sister and I shared a room, and we had bunk beds, and I was in the top bunk. That kind of stung. What are some of the most dangerous toys that you've ever seen? I would imagine the water beads and the lawn darts would be very near the top of that list.
They're at the top of the list. Another one are those small, really strong magnets. Like you'd get a pack of like maybe 50 of these like little magnets and they would stick together. For some, they used it for like, you know, temporary body jewelry, like a lip ring or a tongue ring, and then, oops, swallow two of them. And these things are really high powered, or you're just a kid, a little kid, and you're exploring with your mouth and are like, oh, let me just swallow these magnets. And when that happens, these magnets' forces were so strong that they would attract to each other inside the kid's body, right? And that's not what you want when you have a system that is really, really complex and you don't want things ripping through the intestines or anything else or the stomach or things like that. And there are a ton of injuries like that and reports of kids getting hurt that way.
What about safety precautions? I mean, have you heard of parents going a little too far in terms of precautions?
It's a pendulum, right? Like, so you're going to have some parents that swing one way and then swing the other. But I think overall, parents want to do what's right for their kid and what will keep them safe. Of course, I'm sure that there are parents that don't allow kids outside because they're afraid of them playing in dirt or in the sandboxes where there might be some foreign objects in there. But overall, I'd like to think that with all the information out there and with all the access to information we have today at our fingertips, that parents have what they need to make good decisions for their kids.
I do have to ask you one more thing. And I wondered this when I was a kid, and I still don't really know the answer. If I eat some Play-Doh, is that good or bad?
You're fine. Most that stuff's non-toxic.
Because mom told me it would kill me.
It won't kill you. Maybe the first editions of Play-Doh might have, or Silly Putty.
Oh, yeah. Silly Putty. Yeah.
But overall, I think those are all non-toxic. Those wouldn't have killed you. But I remember trying to taste my Play-Doh creations and it tasting very salty and not good.
Very salty. Yeah. So mom lied to me. Okay. Well, that's good to know. I'm Mike Rogers. Thanks so much for listening to Something Offbeats. This episode written and produced by Lauren Barry and Chris Blake. Audio editing by Chris Blake and original music. You do a lot. Original music by Myron Kaplan. Now to keep listening, please subscribe to us on the Odyssey app, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have your own offbeat story that you think we should cover, send it to us at somethingoffbeat@Odyssey.com.